Max, it's Higo. How are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm really great, buddy. Thank you so much for taking the time again to chat to me.
No problem.
How are you coping in the middle of the lockdown, pal?
I mean, you know, it sucks, but yeah, you try to do the best you can. You know, we end up finding different ways to get busy. You know, so it's like I've been doing this Max Trax things on Facebook Live, and every Tuesday and Saturday playing some old songs, like all my 30 years of riff making. And I've been jamming with my son Zion on the new Soulfly material, spending like time at home too. For the first time, I had my birthday at home in like the first time in 20 years.
Now, mate, before we start talking about this,
you know, so it's not all bad. It's okay. You know, it's all right. You'll get better.
Now, before we start talking about this fantastic new album from Killer Be Killed, I've got a couple of questions here from some fans that I put up on Facebook, and they've responded pretty quickly. It's funny that you mentioned the Max Trax, because Peter from Facebook asked, can you please ask him for more live Facebook Max Trax videos, as they are the fucking best. So can they expect more of them?
Yeah, and actually I'm looking actually at you make some upgrades on it. I think it's going to sound better. I'm getting like a board where I'm going to connect the guitar to the board, and it's going to go straight to the phone, and it should sound a lot better for the future episodes. But the show continues the same. It's very punk rock, very very homemade, you know, like there's no big production involved. It's really about show those riffs that I created, and I talk some stories about the riffs and life stories, you know. So it's like a new millennium electric campfire.
I like it, yeah.
You know, it's like sitting in a campfire telling stories and playing guitar, except it's not acoustic guitar, it's electric guitar with heavy riffs, but the stories are all like cool stories about, you know, 30 years of metal career, you know. So there's a lot of fun stuff, a lot of funny stuff, a lot of stuff that's in my book, a lot of stuff that's not in the book. But it's cool. I love doing it. We get about 15 people watching it live every day, every Tuesday, every Saturday. And the material is very diverse. Goes all the way back from Morbid Visions to Schizophrenia to Beneath the Remains, all the way to Killer Be Killed, Nailbomb, all the Soulfly records. So it's fun, man. And it's turning into a real job. It's actually, I take about 2-3 days to prepare, to get the songs, you know, remember them, the riffs. I got to go remember the riffs and make sure I'm playing them right. And then I think about what I'm going to say on the stories. And then it's live, you know, so there's no time to make corrections. It's all live, so it's everything goes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really fun, man, and I'm having a ball. I think I'll continue. I did it because of the pandemic, because so many people were at home, and I was like trying to also fill my time with something to do, stay busy myself. So I decided to do it for free. You know, I was like, I don't want any money, but, you know, on this thing. There's some people were like, yeah, you should do Twitch, you can get money. But I was like, I'm not doing it for money, man. You know, it's not about that. It's like really just to share with the fans this passion I have for these riffs, and to give them something to watch during the pandemic, you know. So we just decided, and it's so cool that I think I'll keep doing, even when there's no pandemic, I'll still do Max Trax, because I have a whole lot of songs. I don't think I'm going to ever run out of songs, so we can do that for a long time.
I reckon so. And it's funny that you mentioned that you go right back through your old catalogue, including Nailbomb. Another question from a fan, Shane Henderson on Facebook, said, any chance of another Nailbomb album?
Not under the name Nailbomb, but okay. It's possible that in the future I'll get a similar project to something heavy again like that, like Nailbomb heavy, because I love doing that kind of stuff. But Nailbomb itself, me and Alex, we terminated. It's done. We did the two records. We actually went on tour, though, about 2 years ago. We did a Nailbomb tour in America and Canada. And I hope I can bring that to Europe and Australia, because it was fantastic. It was Soulfly the Soulfly members playing Neil Vaughan Point Blank.
Yeah, I remember.
My son Zion on drums. My other son Igor was doing keyboards and singing. He's got a real similar voice to Alex. So that was really well received. That was a fun tour. I probably will do more of that in the future, but probably a different under a different name, but with the same intensity as Neil Vaughan, you know?
Yeah, nice. Okay. So one of the questions that I imagine you've been asked a million times since it happened, how many times have you been asked about your dreadlocks?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. You know, I wasn't expecting that reaction. You know, in fact, when I decided to cut it, it was kind of just like kind of out of the blue. One of those out of the blue things. I woke up one day and I told my wife, like, I think I want to cut my dreads. You know, and she was so very surprised. You know, because been with me for 23 years.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? He's like, seriously? I was like, yeah, it's bugging me. It's very heavy. I kind of feel like I need something new. Something I need to come with something fresh in my life. You know. So we just did it. You know, it was a Sunday afternoon here in my house. We had like a little bit of the family. We had a family dinner, and I just went in the backyard, and she had a pair of scissors. Like, cut it off. Just cut it off. Let's not make a big deal. But she took a picture and posted the picture, and that was a problem. You know, that was where the shit hit the fan.
It took off like wildfire.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't expect that, man. I was like, my son called me. He's like, you know, you're number one on Google, on Google News, you know. And I don't even know what that is. I'm like, what the fuck is that, you know? And it's like, Kerrang did a piece about it, you know. But, yeah, we just cut it. We should put it in a bag, saved it, you know. I think we're going to – I think she wants to frame it and put it in a wall, in a house, and then – do something with it eventually in the future. I don't know. Those are manager things that I don't get involved with. Manager decisions. But I'll tell you what, man. It feels fucking great not having that thing around. It was good, but it had its time. It was time to go. It was time to move on. I feel like I've been liberated from the dread.
Yeah, I can imagine. The weight itself would be amazing.
Yeah, it was very heavy, man. It was really long. It was all the way to my ass, you know, and fucking. But it's just one of those things, you know. It was just kind of the timing was kind of off because it was, you know, I did it during 2020, and everybody was like, 2020 doesn't get more weird than this. Even Max is cutting his thread, you know, which I really didn't think about it until later that I did. I was like, yeah, it is on 2020 that I cut my dreads off. But you know, it's just one of those things. I just decided to, like I say, it was a spur of the moment decision, you know. I was just like, woke up one day like, I think I'm done with this, man. I think it's time to cut it off. And just did it, you know, and finally done. But I didn't know it was gonna cause such a shit storm.
Well, from that, we will jump straight into this album, Killer Be Killed, Reluctant Hero. And speaking of the dread, the film clip for your latest single, Dream Gone Bad, that'll be the last clip to ever feature you hugging your dread in bed.
Yeah, yes.
So
that was the director's idea of us sleeping and having nightmares. So it was kind of cool that they portrayed. We actually did a photo shoot the same day for Revolver Magazine in America, and that's actually the last photo shoot I did with my dreadlocks. And then we did the video, but I'm very, very psyched about this record. I think it's a very cool record, man. It's very, very different, very exciting. You know, we got a third single coming out, Inner Calm from Outer Storms. It's another video. It's cool. I'm excited for the record. I think people are going to like the record. You know, I think it's a powerful, a better record than the first one, more diverse. And, I'm pretty excited about it.
Man, I'm over the moon with it. I've been waiting for so long for this album, and I actually tweeted again last night. I think it's my album of the year because there's something about it that just burrows under your skin. It gets into your veins and runs through the system. I am absolutely loving this album so much. I knew it was going to be coming. We knew that we would get another album from you guys, but you did vow to keep it a bit of a secret from everyone. You wanted to surprise people. How long did it take to put this together?
Well, we've been working on it for the last 6 years, you know, back and forth. We did what we call, what I call it, the desert sessions, and then because they all came here to Arizona to jam, and we went to my jam room I have here, Soulfly Jam Room, and those jam sessions were about 3-4 days long, and we did I think we did like 5 of those, and during those jam sessions that's when we wrote the whole record. And then we actually entered the studio and finalized all the lyrics and all the vocals. But they all, from the beginning, it was a plan that the guys had it with the label. They had a meeting with the label to keep it as secret as possible. And I was on board with it. You know, they just told me, like, if you cannot talk about it, you know, try not to tell that we're already in the studio, that we're already jamming. So every time I did an interview, I would just lie. Say, oh, yeah, there's nothing going on, when we were already, like, writing songs and we're in the studio recording, you know. So I think it was cool because I think when the first song dropped, which was Deconstruct Self-Destruction, it dropped like a bomb. It was people were generally really surprised, you know. Like, some people were, like, they couldn't believe that we actually had made a record, that we actually had a new song out, you know. And I think that's kind of cool. It's in this time of internet where nothing is a secret anymore, it's kind of nice to see that there is some things like that you can still keep it secret and have some kind of reaction. So I think it was worth it, and it was well done. And it was, you know, it was tempting for me to I wanted to tell people about the record, but I couldn't, you know, so I had to just keep it quiet. But at the end of the day, I think it works out good. And, you know, by now, I think a lot of people has the record. But, yeah, I think it worked. I think it was the secret plan work, and it was a good idea.
Absolutely. So does the band have a principal lyricist? Because you've got – it's such an amazing lineup of the four of you, and you would all have your ideas. So is there one person who you rely on for lyrics, or does everyone chip in?
Yeah, we all do it together. There's not a – we don't really have a leader. We joke about it, calling Greg our fearless leader. But when it comes down to writing riffs and lyrics, and we just kind of like all share between all of us. And I think that's the secret and the beauty of Killer Be Killed, is because we share all those things. You know, I wrote all my lyrics sitting next to Troy, and actually totally motivated by him, and he was actually helping me with lyrics. I hate writing fucking lyrics. I never liked it. Even in the Sepultura days, I wrote it out of necessity, and I came up with cool shit that people love to sing, and it's cool, and I'm excited. But honestly, if you ask me, do I enjoy doing that? Hell no. I enjoy making riffs. That's where I really get pleasure from it. It's riff making. And I have a lot of riffs on this album that I'm proud of it. You know, it's like there's a huge amount of riffs that I put on this record. Well, and that's kind of like, that is my favorite part of Killer BQ, is actually bringing the riffs to the guys and just watching the reaction, playing them the riffs and watching them go, oh, fuck, this is a heavy riff. Or the totally opposite reaction to be like, no way, dude, that's your riff? That's a melodic riff. That sounds like Deftones, you know, or sounds like Misfits, you know? Which is totally fine and fun to me to do that, you know, get a reaction out of the guys. But yeah, it's all done, all of us, and nothing electronic, no computer, like nobody in Zoom sessions type shit. Everybody in the studio together, like Black fucking Sabbath in 1975.
Yeah, nice. Now let's talk about this upcoming single, In a Calm from Outer Storms. It's almost got a doom feel about it. Who brought that one to the table? Was that one of your riffs?
Yeah. Those are all pretty much all my riffs. I had a black metal riff that opened the track. The guys love it, and they actually sing really cool on top of it. Now, it sounds in a part, I told Greg, it sounds like Pink Floyd. I was like blown away. Like, you guys made that black metal riff with some Pink Floyd vocals on top of it. That's fucking mind blowing. And then all the other riffs are very max riffs, very heavy riffs that, you know, it's very, very common to what I normally do. Those actually, though, that song is actually closer to a max song, more like a Soulfly, Caballera, Conspiracy, Sepultura song than the rest of the record, I think. And I was quite surprised when the, because I didn't really pick the singles. I let them do that. You know, I was not really, didn't want to be involved. I like the whole record, so I told them, whatever you guys pick, I'm good with it, you know. So I was pretty surprised that they picked that for the third single. But I'm excited for it. I think it's a cool song. It's very, very different, and it's very, very energetic, too, especially the vocal part on the second part of the song when me and Greg are going at each other. It's like a scream battle. It's like we're going for it, really screaming at each other, and we just don't let up.
Yeah.
And I think the energy of that song is contagious. It's a contagious. I think that is going to be a great song to play live. So I'm very very proud of that one.
Well, actually, when I heard "Filthy Vagabond," that is an absolute favorite of mine from the album, and I thought that might be the next single, but now it makes sense. You've done something different with Inner Calm and Outer Storm. But what can you tell me about Filthy Vagabond? It's just a massive tune.
Yeah, that is actually mostly Greg's riff. He had this kind of, it reminded me of Bad Brains meets Metallica, Kill 'Em All era kind of riff. And I loved it. I told him, this is really cool, man. We don't have nothing like this on the record. And I'm glad you're bringing this to the table. And we sing about touring, you know, life on the road and how it is to be a filthy vagabond, you know, that you just go from town to town, pillaging and raping and taking no prisoners, you know. So I think it's a fun song. It's like one of those, it'd be fun to get drunk, listen to that song, get having a beer or having a shot of whiskey, you know, while you listen to that song. It's like perfect, you know, for each other. I like the lines that I chose for my vocal parts. You know, city lights went flashing by. My home is the road. Sound check, hotels, you know, and dirty clothes, shitty food. I'm in the mood, you know. So it's like all things that happen during the tour, and then of course Troy's got the very liberating, that almost sounds like a Motorhead, Iron Fist,
yeah,
Lemmy. You know, Troy does have a little Lemmy in his voice, which is really cool, and I'm glad that comes out on this song. But yeah, this is a very very unusual song, very different from the rest of the record, and has the kind of bluesy ending. You know, it's almost like a blues riff. So yeah, it's cool. I'm glad that. See, I like the variety of this record. You can have a song like Inner Calm, and Dream Gone Bad, and then Filthy Vagabonds, and then Animus, which is a pretty much a grindcore song, and then Reluctant Hero, which is starts like a ballad.
Yeah.
What Greg refers to, Def Leppard meets Neurosis, which I think is a brilliant analogy of that song.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, like you saying it might be your favorite record of the year.
Oh, man.
It's cool to hear that, man. It's like, for us, that we put a lot of work on it, a lot of time on it. When we hear that, it's deeply satisfying for us as musicians, of course, that it's being recognized like that by people like yourselves, you know, so it's cool. Thank you so much.
Man, no worries. It is, it's such an interesting, well, the original album was interesting, and then this one, like I said, you've got yourself, Troy, and Greg, songwriters in your own right, all great, you know, and unique singers, and then you've got Ben, who is an absolute monster on the drums. It's just such a great joining of souls. It was always destined to be huge. Like, but you've got a 7-minute plus song on here as well. And this is the dichotomy that people have to get used to. You've got 7 minutes from a crowded wound, 7 minutes. And then the flip side of that is you've got a 1 minute and 7 second song in Animus. How did From a Crowded Wound come together at 7 minutes? Was it always going to be a long song, or was it bits and pieces from here and there that just came together?
No, we always wanted it to be this epic song. It almost feel like the epic song when we were writing. It's actually one of Greg's old riffs, like 10, 15 years ago. And we wanted to, it was inspired by classic long songs, like some of the Metallica songs, like Master of Puppets. Mm. In fact, the nickname of the song was Puppets, referring to the record Master of Puppets. And some of the Injustice for All material. So it could have been an instrumental, but I think it would be a little bit repetitious if it was an instrumental. So I'm glad that we sing on it, because it gives you a little bit more, is more interesting with vocals in it. But it's a cool journey, you know. It's a whole, and I think there's a plan to do maybe a comic video of that without us being on it, but all having like comic visuals or something. Hopefully that will turn to reality. But I think it's kind of like what we listen to, you know. Like I listen to a lot of, you know, progressive stuff like Isis and Neurosis, Russian Circles, and I also listen to a lot of grindcore, you know, old Napalm Death, like 30-second songs, you know, Scum. Mm. So we want to put both things on the record. So you have Animus and you have From a Crowded Wound. It just shows that we're not afraid to have a 7-minute song on the record. We're standing by, actually, you know. It's like, take the journey with us. You'll be cool. You'll be worth it. And if you want to just let it all out, you can go on Animus and have 1 minute freak out. Yeah. Where you just let everything go, you know. It's fun making records like that, man. It's liberating, you know. It's the way records should be made, I think. You know, like you throw all the preconceptions out of the window. You don't bring any egos to the studio. It's just a bunch of guys that like making metal, like making music, having fun with each other and really enjoying it. You know, that's to me, that's what Killer BQ represents.
Yeah, and it's a great representation. Those 7 minutes don't feel like 7 minutes. It's not like you're listening to it going, when's this going to end? Because it flows so well. I'm a huge fan of that one. You've got a really fast-paced song called Dead Limbs on this album, which has got this driving melody to it, which I really enjoy. And I wanted to know more about that one. It feels like a Troy song. Was it a Troy song?
The main song that Troy has on this record is Left to Center. It's actually like the song sounds a lot like Mastodon.
Yeah.
Dead Limbs is a combination. I think on the melodic part, me and Troy worked together on the riff a lot. He put a lot of cool bass. There's a lot of bass lines underneath the melodic part that are beautiful, man. Beautiful bass notes. And he's a really good bass player. And in the beginning, I was really inspired by the Last Possessed record, especially the song No More Room in Hell. And so I love that kind of real fast picking. And you know, it's almost like an old school thrash riffing. And when I did that thing, I showed the guys like how I wanted to do that riff, because the original riff was more open notes, didn't have any thrash on it. And I showed them how I can do that riff. I can maximize the riff.
Yeah.
And they loved it. They fell in love with it. They're like, fuck yeah, do that. That's great. That's way cool. Way awesome. And so I like that a lot about that song. Yeah, it's got a great groove, man. It's a great, cool, fast beginning, a great groove, and a really beautiful bridge, a melodic bridge in the middle. Not exactly sure why is it called Dead Limbs. I think that was actually the nickname, and we end up just staying with the name. We didn't bother to change to a real name. So it's one of those songs that just stay with the same name as the nickname.
The Great Purge is another one that I really love. For Greg's vocal, especially, there's a little bit of an Aussie tinge to him, Ozzy Osbourne vibe about it. And then you get to your vocal part, which is this pure thrash hardcore. This song really encapsulates everything that is great about Killer Be Killed. You can really hear the definition between each of the characters in the band.
Yeah, this song is cool. It was the story behind is about the massacre of Russian priests in the 1930s and during communism. And I visited this mass grave last year when I was in outside Moscow with my wife. And I mentioned it to Greg and Troy. I said, this is cool. Like, we should make a song about this. It's a real cool subject. So we read it. It's actually called The Great Purge. It's about the killing of all these priests, and they're all buried there. There's like 30,000 of them. So it's a heavy story, and I love Troy's lyrics. He nailed it, man. Like to the core, the meaning of the song, and you know, I'm talking about bones of saints are on the ground, but bones of saints are found, you know, because a lot of those priests end up becoming saints, you know. And musically, yeah, you touched it right on. Greg does sound like Ozzy. That was the first thing when he first recorded those vocals. I go, you sound like motherfucking Ozzy in Diary of the Madman, man. You know, you sound like Ozzy on Blizzard of Oz. It's insane. It's so cool. It's got this real heavy metal feeling to it. Because the riff is one of my riffs, and it's a very Black Sabbath riff. You know, so I was like, it's a full-on Tony Iommi Black Sabbath riff. And the way Greg sings on it, he's got that Aussie vibe. So it's cool. It's like perfect. It's got that heavy metal connection that I love, because I always love traditional heavy metal. You know, I'm a big fan of many of the traditional heavy metal, like stuff from those days. You know, a lot of the Rainbow and Black Sabbath and Deep Purple. So it was cool to have that. That we ended up having that song on the record. It was very important.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, before I let you go, I do want to talk about the closing track, the title track, Reluctant Hero. To me, it feels like the closing credits of a movie are rolling when this song's on. It's just a fantastic way to wrap up a truly diverse album. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, I was involved on the second part. It was a melodic riff. End up being the chorus of the song, and I worked with that with Troy. Me and Troy sat down outside the studio with acoustic guitars and wrote all that part in acoustic. The first part is Greg's one of Greg's riffs that he say he got it inspired by Blood aus Nord. I guess it's a French black metal artist. I went and checked it out, and I really like. I think it's really cool. It's kind of like a black metal ministry. And then Troy's vocals, it's all about his old manager Nick that passed away last year. So it's very heartfelt lyrics, you know, like about death and dealing with death and dealing with the passing of people close to you and how you deal with that. And that's a very soulful thing to me. It's a very close to songs like Tree of Pain and First Commandment. So it was really cool to be part of this. And again, it did have this grandiose kind of feeling, like a cinema, like you're right, like the movie credits can be rolling, you know, which is cool. And I think it's we kind of cheesed it up a little bit, went into the melodic riff that sounds like Def Leppard, but I think that's cool, you know? It's like, we're not afraid of going there, you know? It's like, it's okay to be cheesy sometimes, you know? It's all right.
As you said, mate, all the rules were out the window with this one, and it's a beautifully well-rounded and expressive album from all of you, and that's what makes it so great. One final question, a statement really from Brad Regwell on Facebook, who said, I really hope we get to see them live again someday, because for all of us here in Australia, we got to see your very first live gig here at Soundwave. I remember standing in that heat in Melbourne for that very first show, and you know, we all just went, wow, when do we get to see this again? So hopefully 2021 or 2022, will we get to see you back in Australia with Killer Be Killed?
Yeah, I hope so too, man. We are ready. In fact, I think we're going to try to dedicate more time for Killer Be Killed next year, hopefully, for live shows. We're going to put aside some time for that and, you know, hopefully follows through. So, yeah, keep our fingers crossed, you know. But we will love to play this record together. Now we have two records. It would be a really easy set list. You can play an hour and a half easy an hour and a half of music. I think crowd will go crazy, and we will definitely enjoy that.
Well, Max, it is always great to talk to you, mate. I really appreciate your time, and I'm glad to hear that you're moving freely now without the dread. Congratulations on this new album, yeah. Reluctant Hero. It is, like I said, my favorite of 2020, and it's just fantastic. So well done.
Thanks, man. Nice talking to you, brother.